is our desire, our goal, our hope when we come together that God might do something, anything, a small thing, a big thing, a medium-sized thing, so that in the end, we would be changed or transformed. And even in moments of difficulties, moments of sickness, moments of challenge even, we pray that even in those moments, God will be in the process of transforming us, changing us. I've been meaning to say something for the past couple of weeks regarding this. I thought I saw Alex in here. Yeah, I see him. Alex Menzler, just wanted to give a shout out. A recent college graduate, graduated in December from Harding University. Give a shout out. Now you are real grown up. You get to go, and he's headed to Arkansas. Parents are clapping because he's headed out. He's headed to the Texarkana area, Arkansas, where he'll be working with an energy company. Sounds like a really good opportunity for him to get into the field, business field, and so we're thankful to him. Also, Mark Berry. Mark Berry graduated from Ohio State. I saw Josh come in, which reminded me of Mark Berry, but he graduated from Ohio State, and so we got some college graduates in the midst, and again, entering into adulthood. We just don't want you to think that we're not thinking about y'all. We love y'all. We're proud of y'all, and when y'all make it big and famous and make a lot of money, give me a kickback. All right. Blessings to all as we begin our time in the Word. It is the second week of the year 2022. Don't look now, but it's almost Christmas. You'll go to the stores and they'll start setting up their Christmas displays. Now you're laughing about that right now, but when December comes, we'll all be saying, can you believe it's December already? Time is flying. And so I'm not so much concerned with the speed of which, you know, the next Christmas season comes. I just hope that when Christmas does come in the end of this year, that there will be much to reflect on regarding what we did as a church, as individuals and as a church. I hope that there is so much that we can reflect on at the end of this year. Look, I'll be honest. I have lived a life hinged in a season of what ifs and what could have been. What if we didn't shut down in March of 2020 our in-person services? And prior to the start of the pandemic, we, as a church and leadership team, we were on the brink of inaugurating some specific ministries that would have been fantastic for our church, but for the pandemic and the shutdown. What if we weren't consumed with COVID-19? In the past couple of weeks, I had a case in our household. My mother, my 76-year-old mother, has COVID. Several of my relatives in Buffalo, there's like a outbreak in my family back home. And we're consumed with him. My mother is age, and she has some underlying conditions. And but you know, prayerfully, she's doing well. I call her every day, check on Mama. I want to be a good son. But she's doing well. She has the vaccines and the booster, and that seems to have resulted in her receiving a mild case and not a serious case of COVID-19. But what if we weren't just consumed with COVID-19? What if we had more of this and less of that? What if we had more money and less conflict? And what if our church had more people and less obstacles? Like, I've lived in that space of what ifs and could have beens. And I'll be honest with you, it's not a good place. And forgive me for living in that place. I'll be frank. I'm done with the what ifs and what could have been. I am committing to living in God's blessing. That's what we explored last week. Well, we took a look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians where he wrote to them, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We took time to list the spiritual blessings. Just found in the letter to the Ephesians. I ask you to take out a piece of paper or take out your phone and make a list of all the blessings that you have in your life, to add to that list of blessings from Ephesians, or the book of Ephesians. I also propose that we become God's poem. That is, since we are so blessed, we become a blessing to other people. Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And for we are what he has made." And that word, that phrase there, in some of your translations says we are the workmanship of God. But "for we are what he has made us." Workmanship made us, that Greek word poema. That's why I said let's become God's poem. "And we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." And so we want to live fully, deeply, completely into God's blessing so we can be a blessing to others. Does that make sense, church? So that's what we are becoming. That's what we talked about last week. The week before that, we discussed where we're going. And on that Sunday, we proposed to wear a new wardrobe, to be clothed in Christ by allowing the word of Christ to richly dwell in our hearts. And this morning, I want us to briefly to consider, after considering where we're going, what we're becoming, who we're becoming, where we're going, we want to look at what we're doing. Let's read a very, very important text in the Bible. Direct you to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to read verses 15 through 17 as a setup, and then we're going to skip down to verses 21 and 22. So Luke, Gospel of Luke, New Testament, the third gospel, chapter 3, verse number 15 through 17, we'll jump down to 21 and 22. It says, "As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong on his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.'" Dropping down to verse number 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descending upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" With you, I am well pleased. Church, that text holds a particular significance for us for several reasons. Number one, it's about Jesus. This text is about Jesus. I don't know how many times we need to be reminded, but if ever there was an occasion, it would be now. At the start of a new year, let's start off on the right foot. It is all about Jesus. Jesus is at the center. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Jesus is in first place. Jesus is the most significant. Jesus is is king. He is number one. We close 2021 by talking about Jesus as the Messiah. I kept asking, is Jesus our Messiah? That was intentional. Before we can proceed as a church, we have to be firm in our commitment in making Jesus King and Lord and Messiah and ruler of our lives and ruler of our movement and our destiny. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus. Number two reason why this text is so significant is because it speaks of an important practice and event that has been a definitive event in the churches of Christ. Baptism. Baptism is so important, not as a weapon to fight against other church movements. Sadly, fighting about baptism has been such a part, an integral part of our history. But fortunately, I think we are beginning to reorient our lives and hearts to a greater and deeper appreciation of baptism because of what baptism is and what it represents in our lives and in our stories. Baptism, it represents this new birth, this new start where we become new creatures. It represents the forgiveness of sins, all the bad junk that we have done in our lives. Baptism washes that away and gives us access to a God who continually forgives us of all of that junk. It represents the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We have to talk more and more about the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is a power that is active. It is a spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and it is a spirit that we have as a gift from God. Baptism represents interest into the body of Christ. When we are baptized, we become a part of something and someone else. We are a part of one another through baptism. It represents a death, a burial, and a resurrection. There too, we align with the ministry of Jesus, who too was who died and was buried and resurrected. It represents baptism, the inauguration of mission, and we'll talk more about that in just a second, in just a moment. A third reason why this text is significant: in this text, we witness the interaction between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the triune God or the Trinity, three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They're three, but they're one. The Gospel of Luke prominently features the Holy Spirit throughout its gospel and its follow-up book, the book of Acts. We believe that God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. It is a mystery, and a full understanding of how it all works has been the pursuit of the Christian church for ages. Nevertheless, whatever our level of understanding, we see all three in this text interacting, mentioned, and working with each other, as displayed in Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, speaking of Jesus, in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you, speaking to Jesus, are my Son, the Beloved, and you, I am well pleased. That's God the Father speaking to Jesus. Why this text is such a beautiful and powerful and significant text. The final point of significance will be the source of the remainder of this message. And not only should this episode in the life of Jesus conjure up the beauty of baptism, the example of baptism and our connection to Jesus through baptism, the example, but also this text highlights baptism as being this inaugural event that jolts Jesus into earthly ministry. In all four Gospels, Jesus' baptism is followed by a description of the beginning of his ministry, his service, what he did here on earth. Except for the Gospel of John, the other three Gospels tell the story of Jesus spending time in the wilderness and being tempted by Satan for 40 days, the accuser. As we Jesus emerged out of that period of about 40 days and he started to serve. He started to do ministry. He preached and he healed and he hung out with people and he prayed and he recruited followers and close companions and he chose them to help him in his work. He trained them. He modeled godly behavior for his followers. He showed what it meant to trust and follow the Father in all things. He experienced life with those he encountered. And of his ministry, many have commented and described his ministry as a holistic ministry. That is, Jesus served needs of all kinds. If you read the story of Jesus and his ministry following his baptism, you'll see that he met spiritual needs. He forgave sins and he gave people a path towards spiritual wellness. He served and met mental needs. He ate with sinners and gave them a reason to believe that they were somebodies as opposed to what they were told their whole life, that they were nobodies and worthless. And he gave them a sense of belonging. He met that mental need. And he also met physical needs. Jesus healed the sick, the aching, and the hurting. Jesus himself, he even summarized this holistic ministry in an episode that took place in close proximity to his baptism. One day, Jesus was in a local synagogue, and it was his turn to read from the Hebrew scriptures, and they handed him the scroll that had the prophet Isaiah. We've been talking a lot about Isaiah in the past several weeks. Now listen to what happened. This is from Luke chapter 4, starting at verse number 17. It says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I often refer to that as Jesus dropped the mic moment. You know, that's the moment where he said what he had to say, and he just, if there were mics back then in the synagogue, he dropped the mic and he went about his way and he went and did his ministry. But do you see Jesus describing this holistic ministry, a ministry that would meet physical needs, that would meet spiritual needs, that would meet mental needs? Jesus had a mission, and praise God that mission is ongoing. If you are hearing my voice today, Jesus' mission is in pursuit of you. Jesus has intentions to bring you and me into his precious kingdom, and he intends for us to join him in his mission. And so, to speak on Jesus' mission is to speak on the mission that we ourselves are both beneficiaries and partners. Accordingly, the body of Christ, the church, the collection of baptized followers of Jesus Christ, receive and accept the invitation to do mission with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's mission since the fall of humankind has been to restore humans to full and intimate relationship with him. And God intends to transform the world. And God is doing this by making disciples of Jesus. Now, the Reynolds Word Church of Christ intends to partner with God. And we have envisioned doing so by connecting people to God, connecting people to people, connecting people to purpose. There were some teachers back in the day during the time of Jesus that asked Jesus, what's the greatest commands? He said, the greatest command is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't stop there. He said, the second one is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, we believe that contained in that greatest command is this message of connecting. Love the Lord your God. That's connecting people to God. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's connecting people to people. You can't love others until you love yourself. You love yourself when you understand how God made you, what he made you for. That's connecting to purpose. That's what we're trying to do with every ministry, with every worship, with everything we say. We are trying to connect people to God, connect people to people, and connect people to their purpose. We believe that connection is a God-ordained effort that will have positive impact on the spiritual health of people, on the mental health of people, and on the physical health of people. It is the belief that fuels our efforts in ministry, and accordingly, here is a list of some things that we are doing. Some are things that we are continuing to do. We've always done. We're going to continue to do that and improve where we can. And some others are some things that we are hoping to inaugurate in the year 2022. Now, God's mission does not change. And so we're not changing God's mission. But the way we attend to his mission, that's our vision. That sometimes changes. It edits. But for the time being, it's connection. You just want to connect people to God, connect people to people, connect people to their purpose. And so here's some things that we want to just highlight that we are doing, some things that we are already doing in regards to church health and church life. Our worship service, this is our main event, our coming together on Sunday mornings to give praise to God together. We see this as a very, very, very significant and important piece of our spiritual life and health. And so we encourage everyone to be a part of the gathering of the saints when we come to worship, whether that's in person or that's online. Over the past couple of years, we've been able to implement some technologies to allow folks to watch from home. I'm not going to sit here and say that there is a preference. I would love for everyone to be in this room. I would love for everyone to be here and passing communion with each other and hearing each other in this space sing and lift praises to God and to experience this. But I understand that some people can't for various reasons. But we want to make sure that whatever the reason is, that you have access to the gathering of the saints. And so whether that's through online and our different platforms, we want to make that a priority. We are going to continue to create better engagement and opportunities for care. We want to create a more welcoming atmosphere for guests. So in the upcoming months, you're going to see things like we're going to be building a welcome center in the foyer so that when guests come in, they feel welcome. Now, we're already doing a great job. When guests come in, I love the way that everyone here will run up to a guest and a visitor and just introduce yourself to them so that they are worshiping with people that they know their names. That's very, very important that we are welcoming. That is, again, a God-ordained, I believe, practice of welcoming others. We want to make better use of connect cards and tools that will help us to just keep track of members to make sure that they are receiving the care. You'll be seeing in a few weeks, we'll have some printed cards. We already have some. We have some printed cards that we'll have you fill out just to say that you're here. A better way and a more efficient way of having and monitoring just connection is through the use of the church app. And so I'm in the process of working with Tithely.com, and we're going to kind of do a little redesign of the church app. And one of the buttons on the church app will be Connect. And it's just a button that you press, and you just say, I'm here, and here's who I'm here with. And I'm either watching online, or I'm watching here, or I'm participating in person. So be on the lookout for that. We also want to provide better communication through our website and through the app. So we've been fortunate, you know, talked to my family in Buffalo. My mother, Thursday to Friday, they got 18 inches of snow. I do not miss it, church. I do not miss Buffalo snow. I like the rain that we're getting here. But if we were to get 18 inches of snow and we had to cancel service, well, through the app, through a push notification, you will receive a message that says services are canceled today. Or there's going to be online and there's a link, or, you know, you click here. So we want to be better at communicating different. There's a prayer wall in the app. So if you have a prayer request that you want the whole church to know about, you don't have to wait till Sunday for us to announce that. You can click on the prayer wall and put your prayer request there, and everyone who has the app will see that that prayer request. We also want to create an atmosphere of inviting. We want everyone here to start inviting folks to come to church with you, or to watch online. That's an attitude. That's a spirit. That's a culture. And so we want to get into the habit of just inviting people to just come and enjoy God with you at church. No strings attached. Inviting people to church doesn't mean that they're going to become a member or come back. But just this culture of just sharing your life and this significant moment with other people. We're going to stress that a lot. We're talking about planning a day where we jumpstart that culture, where we're just asking everyone to bring a friend or a family member. We're going to continue to grow this prayer ministry. the Bible does not talk a lot about a lot of contemporary ministries. Like, there is nothing in the Bible that talks about youth ministry or men's ministry or women's. There's none of that. The Bible talks a lot about prayer and spiritual formation. And so it would seem that we would spend a lot of time and effort really developing prayer in this church. And that was the start of the prayer ministry led right now by John Hess, was put in place and inaugurated to help the church, spur the church to become more participatory in prayer. And John is just doing such a great job. John has created a calendar that has the names of all the church members that he wants to hand out to everyone, so that you are praying for a member every day of the year. Like, that's what we want to get into the habit of doing. Like, just take a moment, take a few seconds and pray for somebody. We want to cultivate the life of prayer in our life. We want to continue to grow our connect groups, the various groups that meets throughout the area. We want to try to restart some of our Bible classes, both in person and we'll continue to offer classes through Zoom and other mediums, so that we can connect and really get into the Word and spend some time together. We are looking at ways to jumpstart, restart our teen ministry. there are a couple events we have planned to. Again, start that and get that going on a regular basis, so that we can nurture our kids as they grow into grow towards adulthood. Trying to restart Children's Church, which is an offering that we want to be able to offer during our worship time here for families of small children, having a focused time with some teachers that are teaching Jesus and his way at their level, while the adults are in here. We're also looking at things like a men's retreat, a women's retreat, and an all church family retreat. And also this year we will be going through the process of recognizing additional leaders, shepherds and deacons. Moving towards, and that's church life and health, moving towards like outreach, what we're going to be doing 2022. We're going to continue to, invest and participate in a long running, I would deem it a successful ministry, community of care, where we, as a partner with the Mid-Ohio Food Collective, we are handing out groceries once a month and providing food assistance at a dire time for a lot of folks. Toward the end of the month uh, is where a lot of their, you know, there's more month at the end of the money, and people struggle with just having some groceries. So we give out groceries, about a week's worth of groceries. We're continuing to develop that. And also, look at that as a way of connecting with those who may not have a relationship with Jesus. We have to be very careful with that, and there's some regulations that we have to abide by to continue our partnership with the Mid-Ohio Food Collective. But we are going to look at creative ways that we can be more inviting and letting people know that we do meet physical needs, but we're also in the business of meeting spiritual needs, and so we're going to be exploring that. We had a meeting, Joel Boer, one of our shepherds, and I had a meeting with representatives from the Columbus Literacy Council, which is an organization that partners with the Metropolitan Library, and they have approached us about using our building as a hub for an after-school program that would reach 50 to 75 kids in the Reynoldsburg area for after school. They also have grant money that they have been given permission to partner with us to help folks in the community. So that is a developing partnership. We also want to highlight our connection with foreign missions. We have ministries in Guyana, South America, Honduras, and the Philippines. We'll talk more about that. The Philippine connection is a more recent connection, but we are working with a young man in the Philippines who, since we have started to help him, has planted a church. He's preaching for two churches, and he sends us pictures of them baptizing folks in 55-gallon drums of water. It's a real exciting a partnership that's formed. But here locally, one of the things I want us to really start to think about is how to intentionally reach out to our neighbors in this community and serve them in their pursuit of God. How can we reach the folks that live just down the street that are asking questions about Jesus and God? So that's our outreach and ministry to the community. And then there's just, and I don't say just, I think this is very important, personal spiritual development. We want everyone here to have a personal daily prayer life. We want everyone here to have a daily encounter with the Bible. We want everyone in here to have daily moments of serving others. Now, the church will invest in everyone's personal development through shepherding. You have three shepherds. You have a minister that a deacon. We want to invest time. If you need to talk to us, you want to study with us, you want to pray with us, we are here to spend intentional time with you. We will give you all that you need. Mentoring, offering resources. One of the, I think, probably underutilized resource that we announced about a year and a half ago was Right Now Media, which is an online resource that has thousands and thousands and thousands of Bible studies that you all have at your fingertips. And so we are investing in personal spiritual development. That's where we're going. This is who we're becoming. This is what we're doing. And all these questions, where we're going, who we're becoming, what we're doing, all these questions are answered by looking to Jesus. He is our Messiah, our Lord, our Master, our King. Jesus is the way. Jesus is our life. Jesus is our mission. And whatever challenges or obstacles that get in the way, we will continue to do the Jesus way. Jesus had challenges. Jesus had obstacles. Jesus had doubters. Jesus had opponents. Jesus had bad days. But all the negative energy was swallowed up in this truth that was revealed at his baptism. You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. And we too are the beloved of God. We are God's beloved. And as God's beloved, know that there is a lot of work to do. And as God's beloved, hear this encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that is the Lord, your labor is not in vain. In the Lord, your labor is not in vain. And so during this season of challenge, may we not succumb to the misery of what ifs or could have beens. Let us instead be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord. And so what's the action item for us? Well, it's a call. The call is to the hearers of this message. Make Jesus your Messiah. Let's start there. Make Jesus your King. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Declare that, will you? That's an action item. Number two, make a commitment to do life with this church family. We would love for everyone to be fully and wholly committed to the ministry of the Runnersburg Church of Christ. We want to be family with you. Number three, make a decision to do ministry in partnership with God's mission and our vision to connect people to God, connect people to people, and connect people to purpose. I can promise you that the Holy Spirit will be fully and wholly involved in that. I can't promise you that there won't be challenges, that there won't be missteps, that there won't be mistakes, that there won't be failures. But I can promise you that God will be with us. I can promise you that there will be days that there'll be frustrating days. But those frustrating days will be swallowed up in the bliss of seeing God transform this world. The bliss of seeing men, women, and children turning their lives over to Jesus Christ. That's what brings me joy. That's what makes everything worth it, is seeing people fall in love with Jesus. So, before you do that, you need to surrender your will and your way to Jesus. Surrender your heart and mind to Jesus. Surrender your attitude and your character to Jesus. And we're going to sing about that in just a few seconds. We're going to sing a simple song of surrender. A simple profession to God that I'm giving you everything. I surrender all. I surrender my life. I surrender my heart. I surrender my mind. I surrender my talents. I surrender my money. I surrender my time. I surrender it all to Jesus. Why? Because he knows what to do with it, and he'll make good use of it. He won't waste it. Like a lot of us, we waste our time and we waste our money and we waste our minds and we waste our hearts. But give it to Jesus and he'll do something fantastic with it. So let's surrender all to him. Let's watch God do a mighty work in Reynoldsburg and Pickerington and Pataskala and Columbus and Gahanna and Westerville and Central Ohio. When we all surrender to God, that's what we're doing. And that's what we want to call everyone to do. So I'm going to ask you to stand and sing this song if you are wanting to surrender your life to God. If you're here, you want to give your life to God for the very first time, and you want to experience what Jesus experienced when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the Father said, "This is my child in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, we would love to start 2022 off with that. Let's stand, let's sing this song together.